From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children Night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in a night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, forever the heart throb of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, and your Mr. Pierogi. Count Panic himself.
How's it going there, Bob? Great to be back. Another episode of Bob After Dark. Can you believe we are back here once again?
You know, this is a special episode, Count.
What is that?
Well, you see, because it's not live.
Oh, well, okay.
Well, it's live for the Jed TV, folks. We're on a Jed TV, and it's a podcast.
And it's a podcast, too.
It's podcast. It's more or less podcast exclusive.
Podcast broadcast.
Podcast broadcast episode. Usually when we do these kinds of episodes, it's a little bit more low-key. It's a little bit more chill.
We're off the rails.
A little bit more relaxed. So this episode, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite Japanese ghost stories of all time.
Okay.
But so it's just this one's, you know, set the mood, relax a little.
But to be fair, it's a cleanup. Don't worry. You have to hide the kids.
No. I tell my fans this all the time, especially when I'm at cons, is I pride myself in being a family friendly podcast. Is not easy to get an all ages rating on like Apple Podcasts. It is very hard to achieve that. Yeah. And it's very, very hard to maintain it. Bob After Dark this year turns 4, technically.
Yeah.
And because of that, it's like, I'm very proud of the fact that over these years that we've been doing it, we might touch on some really interesting subjects.
Of course.
We might cross into some very terrifying territory. Mm-hmm. And I always warn you guys, though, when we're doing something that's a little bit more on the spooky side, you know what I'm saying? So this episode's no different. It's kind of a spookier story.
Yeah.
But
relax a little bit.
But we're going to be a little bit more relaxed. There's no news articles this week. Not a lot of...
I could undo my cape a little bit.
Relax a little, folks. We're going to be enjoying it. But before we do anything, Count Panic's weekend update.
Oh, Bob, I tell you what. It was a big... I know this guy named Mr. Pierogi, Bob.
Oh, yeah. I hear he runs the afternoon show here.
He does multiple things, I think. Yes, he's a lot of personalities, I guess. But, you know, they have a big event here, if you're not local, in Whiting, Indiana, Pierogi Fest each and every summertime. It was the halfway point this past weekend, so there was a big celebration at one of the local breweries, Bulldog Brewing. And I was there, the former Mr. Pierogi. I mean, I was there watching Mr. Pierogi and the former Mr. Pierogi. It was a sight to behold there, Bob. And there was a passing of the torch kind of a moment there. It was nice all around.
That's
so,
great.
Bob,
I'm glad you had a good time.
I know you're from the city of Whiting, Indiana. It's really a special city, wouldn't you say?
Whiting, Indiana is... Okay, so fans out there in the world, because I do know we have fans in Portland.
Yeah.
You guys saw, you know, out in Portland, you have that slogan, Keep Portland Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Whiting is truly the keep blank weird city of the country, right?
I
kid you not. Whiting is a very odd city where anything goes, anything's possible, and everything's made up. It's just like that Whose Line Is It Anyway, where everything's made up and the points don't matter. Yeah. It's very similar to that regard, where it's like...
It's the little city that could.
It's very odd. And Pierogi Fest is kind of like the claim to fame in that town.
It's a big deal, yeah.
It's a huge deal in that town. Like, Pierogi Fest, that's their pride and
they
joy.
Go crazy.
Look at the Whiting's popular, too.
That's very popular,
too. It is very popular. Yeah. So, I mean, they do other things. But Whiting, in general, is like small town USA. I consider Whiting to be a suburb of Chicago to the extent because I could throw a rock and hit Chicago from, you know, my house. Yeah. So, but you get the idea.
Yeah. I mean, the home of Bob. How much more do you need in life? The home of Bob.
I wonder... Listen, so the city of Whiting officials, if you're listening to this, how have I, one, never been on the billboard?
Oh.
So there's a billboard in Whiting, right, that, like, that shows like off the Whiting celebrity list or like the Whiting.
Like when you entered downtown there?
Yeah, it's right over there, right at the sign across from the White Castles. Yeah. I've never been on that billboard. Oh. And then in high school, they have the, I forgot the guy's name, but we have a Hall of Fame at Whiting High School, whereas my alma mater.
Yeah.
I've never been elected to the Hall
of
Fame.
Oh, that's a shame, Bob.
The Buckley Hall of Fame.
Who do we talk to about this?
So School City of Whiting. And the white, just Whiting in general. Yeah. Acknowledge me.
Acknowledge Bob, for goodness sake. Come on. Maybe at least they could do is a statue or something. I mean, you would think they put it right by the fountain. Right by the fountain, put a statue.
Yes. Oh, you know, knock out that, knock out the fountain centerpease. I think it's like, what, birds, right?
Yeah, bird. Put you in there.
Put me in there, and I'll be holding like a hose.
Yeah,
that'd be good. Me and you, the Bill and Ted pose.
Yeah.
We've talked about this.
I mean, like the Mothman statue elsewhere, we have the Bob statue, so, but we'll talk to somebody.
We'll talk to some of you. I would like to be featured on the billboard. You know,
How hard can that be?
I have a national TV show in the works.
How hard can it be?
International podcast. You know, so I digress. If this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, or your weekly show about legends, lore, supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and of course Count Panic.
Yeah.
Where is Mount St. Helens located?
Mount St. Helens?
Yeah, it's located in what state?
Where is this?
Washington.
Okay.
Well,
is this
last
a trick question?
No. So last week, at one point, I was like, you know, Mount St. Helens erupted, you know, and it's what one of the cryptids known in Oregon. Oh. And the reason why, folks, is because when I was reading my notes, at one point, it mentioned Oregon.
Okay.
And so in my brain, because keep in mind, we do this show live.
Yeah.
So when we record it, because we're a radio show, sometimes I read something and my mouth makes words that don't make sense. For example, the Easter Island Massacre is like my biggest thing I'm known for, at least on the ghostly side of things. So sometimes I might say things wrong, and that's why I love the Bob After Dark Children of Night fan base, because they'll call me out when I'm wrong.
They mentioned something about
I got
to be fair, Steve and I never said anything to you about it, so it's not like we caught your...
And Steve was here, so it must have been a quick slip.
Yeah, I mean,
and because of that, guys, I do apologize. I do know where Mount St. Helens is, and it's
the majority of people don't know.
And that's I had people call me out. I appreciate it. I'm not mad about that. So thanks for catching that, guys. And, you know, I always try to strive to be correct on the show. And so the one I slipped up and I made a mistake.
I didn't say Whiting, at least.
You know, the great Whiting cryptid, which we've had Mothman sightings by the golf course.
Hey,
so
big golfer.
I hear so much at the Lost Marsh. But anyway, so Mount St. Helens, it is... You know,
we're not geography people. I mean, come on. We can barely.
What is it? 52 states?
How many states? There's 52 states, right? Last time I checked. Did they add a couple since the last time?
No.
Oh.
So, yes, Count Panic. What were the two? You did two the one time. You said 52 states.
Evaporated, right?
And the peninsula evaporated. The plateau evaporated.
Yeah. Just disappeared like that. Evaporated into the
water. Things happen. And that's the beauty. And that's what I find fun about doing live broadcasts. Like, keep in mind, you know, podcasters, a lot of times they don't do their stuff live. They don't extract the live audio. We're live. There's not too much. I can't be like, hey, live radio fans, stop and we're going to take that back.
Keep it going.
But keep it going. And sometimes it gets corrected.
That's the thing, you know, we're in a tough rock and a hard place here, because if something goes wrong, we just got to keep rolling.
Exactly.
And I don't think you just let it all fly out on the podcast for me.
Yeah, guys, let me tell you something. But no, either way, I do appreciate it, guys. This is not a bit. I'm honestly not ashamed, but it's a funny goof up. So thanks, guys, for catching that, and I appreciate it. And I promise you I'll make mistakes in the future, because guess what? I'm not perfect.
We'll move past it.
Yeah. It's literally not that big of a deal.
No.
I just wanted to point it out.
That's good.
So what's up, Count?
Not too much, Bob. I didn't ask you how was your weekend, though.
My weekend was okay. Spent the majority of it up north. Got to deal with snow, which was exciting.
Yeah, it's the time of the year.
What did I do? I watched The Mummy. And The Mummy
Returns.
Oh,
wow.
The night and I watched The Mummy and The Mummy Returns.
You got a mummy marathon.
Yeah. The Mummy, the first Mummy movie, is literally a perfect movie.
The perfect movie?
It's perfect. It's seriously perfect. It's not my favorite movie of all time, but as far as, like, you know, the story's solid from beginning to end, the characters are great, the graphics hold up even to this day. Yeah, The Mummy 2, Those graphics are a little rough.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Well, no, the first one, it's good. It holds up great. Everything about that movie is just fine. I have no complaints about them. I don't have many complaints about two.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, man, Mummy 1, it's a great movie.
It's our generation's Citizen Kane is what it is, you know?
I would argue that it's this generation's Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
Not that I like Citizen Kane either.
But when people talk about movies, they always say Citizen Kane.
Lawrence of Arabia, Citizen Kane.
Yeah, yeah. God,
well, you and I went to film school. Well, I went to film school. Local, you went to hieroglyphic school, right?
Yeah. But you know, we would watch the Citizen Kane. You know,
the vampire version of Count Kane.
Yeah.
I'm getting
well,
my words goofed
up here. The thing too about the you know those types of movies, they want you to watch it with the Ebert and Roper commentary, which is fine.
Leonard Maltin. Wasn't that the one we watched in school?
I think it was Ebert.
Was it Ebert's commentary?
Ebert's
I thought it was Leonard Maltin. Anyway.
No, we got Ebert. We got to watch the Mummy commentary with
Bob Anderson's Mummy commentary.
That'd be fantastic.
Oh, dude, listen. Oh, you know what I did? I've been doing some creative writing project.
Did you?
A paranormal creative writing project. I have two chapters done. Queen of Night's really pushing it for me to put it out there for people to read. So if you guys are interested in reading what I've been writing, it's a paranormal story about a reporter discovering the paranormal.
Really?
Yeah, it's that
sounds cool.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. If anybody's interested, I could put that up on the B-Files on the Bob After Dark website. I'd be interested to see what you have to say. So maybe that'll be a thing that I do.
That's the one thing we lack is reading. We don't read enough as a society.
I've always wanted to do the blog for the Bob After Dark website. I've always wanted to do like small paranormal stories that don't necessarily... I talk about this often on the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I sit down to do this show, especially when we're live on radio, there's stories like The Loveland Frog. That's one of my favorite paranormal stories of all time. But I can knock out the lore in 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I could fluff that to a half hour.
Oh, easy.
Easy.
Right?
But
yeah.
At that point, I'm stretching. You know what I mean? Like, you and I are at that point stretching for jokes. We're dipping into the improv, like, background there.
We could do, like, a puppet show attached to it, something like that. I mean, make it a little
paranormal
vibrant.
Puppet show.
Something else after you're done writing, a paranormal puppet show. But that's great, Bob. Again, we as a society should read more. But, you know, the reading material has to be interesting. It has to be fun. And that sounds like that's just what this is.
I will tell you what, Count. It needs proofreading. I'm a decent writer. Mm-hmm. I am not a perfect writer. I would need it proofread. So maybe if I have a fan out there that's really into proofreading that wants to work like pro bono, because it's not something I super want to invest in.
Yeah.
If you guys are interested in like proofreading 3 pages of text, let me know. I'll give you something.
Yeah. Like
maybe give you some Bob After Dark swag. I'll give you a t-shirt.
That's good.
Yeah. I do have t-shirts. We're working on merch, by the way. Merch is going to be really cool.
We like our merch. I think we ran through the first batch, right?
Yeah, we did. COVID messed things up really bad.
Yeah.
And now this year, the big plan is to get the LLC formed. And that way then we can start offering merch for people to buy. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Glow in the dark, maybe. Bob After Dark.
Oh, we're doing stickers.
Nice.
Stickers, buttons. We're going to do that again. T-shirts this upcoming year. Beer cozies. That's like a definite for me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what kind of merch would I like for myself? A beer cozy.
Action figures. Bob Anderson.
Bob and Count.
Bob and Count.
Figure.
Yeah, me too. A set, if you will.
I wonder what scale action figure we would have.
There are companies out there that would invest in a.
We could pay for that to be done.
Yeah.
I mean, Jim Cornette does it all the time.
It's not a company, right?
No.
It's just him going through somebody else. But think about it, Bob, your very own action figure. Kids would be on Christmas morning to their delight wake up and find the Count Panic Bob action figures underneath their tree.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So let's, now that we're here. We usually split the show up into two parts. We do the news, spooky news of the week, and then we do the story and the lore. This week we're just going to stick to the lore.
The lore.
It's going to be a lot more lax, but I'm going to teach you something, Count.
I want to learn.
You want to learn?
I don't learn often.
You
but
learn
I want to
every
learn
week when you're on the show.
Well,
with me.
Once a week I learn.
Okay,
that's
so I
all.
Want you to, we've done two yokai stories before this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a yokai is?
You explained this a couple times, Bob, but I need a refresher. I'll have to admit that.
A yokai is a Japanese spirit, ghost, cryptid, demon, deity, not really on the deity side, but any kind of paranormal entity would all be roped into this yokai category in Japan. So okay. Here we have ghost stories, we have demon encounters, we have cryptids, other dimensional creatures, what have you. We have all of those here, and we split those up. And typically you have individual people that really specialize in one thing. So you'll have a cryptozoologist that's really into the cryptozoology portion, and then you have like paranormal experts and ghost experts that deal in like psychic mediums, whatever. And then you have different levels of psychics and mediums. A lot of these stories that we tell here over there in Japan, we just kind of lump that into a concept of a yokai, right?
Yeah.
And so our very first episode of the podcast, many moons ago, we did the story of the Yuki-onna, which was the Japanese winter princess. Do you remember that one?
I remember that, yeah.
You remember that, yeah. And then we also talked about the Japanese Tengu. Mm-hmm. You remember the Tengu episode?
I remember you.
Are you just saying that to shut me up?
No, I remember you referencing
okay.
it.
So
I know these names, Bob. I just forget what they... Sometimes I think it's the traveling pants that walk around, but that's not the case.
That is the Nightcrawler.
Yep.
The Fresno Nightcrawler. That is your favorite? That and Yolcat?
No, and then, of course, Nessie, of course. And yeah, I have my favorite. The Gourd. I like the Gourd, too.
The Man-Eating Gourd?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Man-Eating Gourd would be a yokai.
They're my four, top four.
Okay. I appreciate that. All right, so you want to... So I have a favorite, right? Just like you would anything.
Of course.
And the only reason why we're talking about it tonight is because I found the single greatest thing on Wikipedia I've ever seen in my life.
Wikipedia.
And that is, it's a conversation diagram. We'll get to it. But there's literally a flowchart of how this entity operates. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So let me tell you the story of the Kuchisaki-onna, in my opinion, my favorite Japanese ghost story of all time. All
right, I'm ready to learn.
All right, so if you translate it down roughly, it would come out to the slit-mouthed woman. Mm-hmm. Where does she typically found? She's found in urban areas. So other yokai, you find them in forests, streams, farmland. The Kuchisaki-onna, you find her in like dimly lit streets, alleys, really densely populated areas. And so you get the idea.
Yeah.
So just got a couple different like things I'm going to be quoting here. One is the yokai.com's article on her. According to Yokai.com's article about her and the appearance, the Kuchisaki-onna is the ghost of a woman who is mutilated and has come back to wreak vengeance on the world. Her name comes from the deep, bloody gash that runs across her face, grinning from ear to ear. She appears at night to lone travelers on the road, covering her grisly face with a cloth, mask, fan, or handkerchief. The Kuchisaki-onna sneaks up on her victims in the dark and asks them if she thinks they are beautiful. If the victim says yes, she pulls off her mask and reveals a red, blood-dripping, grotesque mouth. Then she asks in a grisly voice if they still think that she is beautiful. If her victim answers no and screams in terror, she slashes them from ear to ear in an imitation of her own mutilation. If the person lies and answers yes a second time, she walks away only to follow the target home and slaughter them brutally at night. Mm. There's no escaping.
No.
Right? So there's a different couple origins to this, again, according to yokai.com. The spirits of the dead who were killed are in particular violently ways and manners of people who suffered from abuse or tortured captives, defeated enemies, often do not rest well. The Kuchisaki-onna is thought to be one such as a woman. However, during the Edo period, a large number of Kuchisaki-onna attacks were blamed on shape-shifting kitsune, which are shape-shifting fox creatures, playing pranks on young men. During the 20th century, the blame began to be placed on ghosts, serial killers, and simple mass hysteria. This erupted into an explosion of Kuchisaki-onna sightings all over Japan. Over the years, clever people claim that they have outsmarted the Kuchisaki-onna by delivering quick, confusing answers or by throwing money or hard candy at these creatures. Yeah. This buys them enough time to escape from her wrath, and it's always depicted as a woman. By the way, you don't hear of the Kuchisaki-onna ever being male presenting, and if you throw something at her, she would kind of just freak out in the dark and you could escape.
What? I mean, Bob, go ahead, continue on.
No, go on.
I was going to say, Bob, I mean, this is a rather, you know, you talk about these cryptids in the past here and some of these creatures, and it's maybe hard to defeat some of these folks here, but this one, you just throw hard candy at it and it just leaves you alone.
Yeah.
That's simple enough.
So there, yes, and we're going to get to some popular versions of media of it. One of my favorite TV shows of all time, the shortest run of the catastrophe, is the Constantine TV show based on John Constantine. There is an episode that deals with the Kuchisake Onna, except for being in Japan, she's attacking New Orleans.
Okay.
And so the episode, she's going around killing men. That's typically her target. However, there are stories of her attacking other women, too. Mm-hmm. So John Constantine, like, shows up, and he, by the way, in case nobody is cultured, I joke, of course, DC comic book character. They made a movie about him with Keanu Reeves that wasn't very good, at least in my opinion, several years ago. He's a demonologist, and he's an occultist. He smokes a lot of cigarettes. He's like kind of like me, except a lot more gruff. I don't smoke cigarettes, so I guess that's a thing. Okay, so I'm not John Constantine. Also, I'm American. He's British. I just like to pretend I'm John Constantine. But anyway, he deals in like the mystic arts and stuff. It's obviously kind of goes hand in hand with what we do here.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of him and his character. DC gave him his own TV show for a while, starring Matt Ryan.
Highest praise you could get.
He lasted like five episodes. Well, it was a catastrophe, I'd say. But one of the episodes, they dealt with a Kuchisake Onna, and it's actually a really cool scene. So the character Chaz, which you should definitely go like watch Constantine or read something, I recommend. Maybe I'll do a book club about it.
Not right now, after the show.
No. After the show. The character Chaz interacts with her, and they're trying to deceive a way where they can pin her down so John Constantine could dispel her, right, and get rid of her. So she goes and she finds Chaz, the character, and she asks him, "Do you think I'm beautiful?" So he's quick to think on his feet, and he asks her, "Do you think I'm beautiful?" Mm-hmm. And because the way that you answer, and this is where we go back to the Wikipedia thing, Wikipedia legitimately has a flowchart of the conversation that triggers events. And it's funny. I don't know why I find this so hilarious. Probably because it's a very disturbing thing, and Wikipedia just has this very simple, you know, you say this word and this is a trigger, and it's only like five boxes. But it starts off with one rectangle at the very top. It asks, "Do you think I'm pretty?" If you say no, she kills you with a pair of scissors. If you say yes, she takes off her masks and asks, "How about now?" And if you say no, she cuts you in half, and if she says yes, she slits your mouth so it appears to be like hers. In the show Constantine, Chaz starts asking these ridiculous questions like, "Well, do you think I'm beautiful? What city are we in?" He would ask her all these questions, and she couldn't proceed to stab him in any kind of motion because you get the idea.
Yeah. Was there hard candy involved?
No, he did that until they kind of distract her. It's a really good episode. It's five episodes, people. Go watch it.
You know what's really strange, though? Like, people always say, why do people walk? They always question, why are these people walking around with hard candy in their pocket all the time? Well, you know, this is the time it comes in handy, Bob. You can defeat this cryptid here. So, you know, don't shame people next time you see that they offer you hard candy. It might be put to good use someday. Never knock those people, Bob.
Yes.
I know you don't, but never knock those people.
I try not to. Yeah. So there's different variations of the origin stories of the Kuchisake Onna. According to legend, that she was a woman who was mutilated during her life with her mouth being slit from ear to ear. In some versions of the story, the Kuchisake Onna was an adulterous wife or mistress of a samurai during her life. She grew lonely as the samurai would always be away from home fighting. Because of this, she would begin to have affairs with men around town. When the samurai heard of this, he was outraged. As punishment for her infidelity, her husband sliced the corners of her mouth from ear to ear. Other versions of this tale include that her mouth was mutilated during a medical or dental procedure, that she was mutilated by a woman who was jealous of her beauty, or her mouth is just filled with numerous sharp teeth that rip the mouth naturally. After her death, the woman returned as a vengeful spirit. And she covers her mouth, like I said, and the idea is that she would go and try to communicate with a person, and depending on how you answer things, she would proceed to kill you.
Yeah.
An individual can survive an encounter with the Kuchisake Onna by using one of the several methods. We talked a little bit about the different ways that you can avoid, anything. You can avoid it by asking kind of dumb questions. You can throw money at her. You could throw hard candy at her.
Yeah.
And then there's also a... there's a phrase you can say in Japanese that's basically banishment, 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 and it make her disappear as well. Author and folklorist Matthew Meyer has described the Kuchisake Onna legend as having its roots dated back to Japan's Edo period, which spanned the 17th to 19th centuries. In print, however, the legend of the Kuchisake Onna will date back as early as 1979. The legend was reported in publications as the Gifu newspaper. And I'm going to butcher the enunciation of this, and I sincerely apologize to the folk who speak Japanese and the Japanese culture, because I do not. The Gifu Nichi Nichi Shinbun, on January 26, 1979, the weekly publication of the Shukan Ashi, March 23, 1979, and weekly news magazine Shukan Shinshu, on April 5, 1979. Rumors about the Kuchisake Onna spread throughout Japan, which led to young children sometimes being accompanied by members of parent-teacher association groups while walking them home from school. Not so bad. the story of her starts up, and we start seeing her pop up in these news articles, right? And people were so freaked out by this creature that they legitimately had a panic, you know, across certain parts of Japan, to where she was leading, like, she was causing the PTA to come escort kids home. And it was said that if these kids were escorted home, or if they were by themselves, they were told to keep a pocket full of candy or a pocket full of, like, you know, their coins. So that would kind of dispel her away. So, you know, you don't hear about that very often, right? When it comes to a paranormal story, a lot of times people think, oh, you know, this is all mumbo jumbo, and you don't hear of anything legitimately causing mass panic, which this thing legitimately did.
Yeah, terrifying.
Historian and manga artist Shigeru Miyazaki considered the Kuchi Onna an example of a yokai, a term that can refer to a variety of supernatural monsters, demons, and other creatures in Japanese folklore. According to Zach Davison, a translator of many of Miyazaki's works, when Miyazaki put her in one of his newest yokai encyclopedias, that's when she is officially considered as a yokai. Mm. So it took Mizuki, not Miyazaki, my apologies, Mizuki, to put her in the encyclopedia, and now she's considered to be a good character.
The rest is history. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and then sorry about that. In popular culture, you could actually see her in some of the live-action films as well as manga, anime, and video games. Their character appears in 1994's animated film Pompoko, produced by Studio Ghibli, which was the Miyazaki thing. Mm. Yeah, just mixed me up.
That makes sense.
Remember how we were talking before, how you read these notes live?
Yeah, just that.
And
yeah.
you mix up, so I had just the two M's back to back. No, I'm just what I'm saying. I'm explaining something.
You're doing it.
Yeah. It happened right there live, and I caught myself that time. Have you ever seen Pompoko?
I have not.
Pompoko is... I like Miyazaki films, and I know there's people out there that really... You know, that really retain, like, really, really, really enjoy the films. They're, you know, these really whimsical, really beautifully drawn animated films. They're good stuff. But Pompoko happens to be my favorite, and I don't think a lot of people's favorite is Pompoko. But I'm going to give you a quick rundown of the film, and it's going to be homework. I want you guys to go and watch it. Pompoko is a film about a tanuki. Do you know what a tanuki is?
Fill me in.
Oh, really? The tanuki suit from Mario Brothers 3. Does that give you a hint?
Yeah, it gives me a little
hint. Oh, the raccoon. So it's a raccoon creature that shapeshifts into different entities and different objects. They screw with people a lot. Yeah. The movie does have a heavy message on, like, environmentalism. And, like, industry, it's really good. But at one part in the movie, like, the tanuki are trying to scare people away from, like, living in their woods. I don't want to spoil too much because it's a really good flick. There's a parade of yokai, and one of the yokai you could see in Pompoko is the Kuchisake Onna, which is really cool. I can't recommend the movie enough.
So this character gets around.
Yes. She later appears in the 1996 live-action short film, The Kuchisake Onna, directed by Teru Yoshi Ishii. She was mentioned in the 1998 film The Ring. Have you ever seen that one?
I've seen The Ring.
In 2007, the film Carved, The Slip-Mouthed Woman, another one of the films. Then there was Carve 2, which... Carve 2, The Scissors Massacre.
Wow. What a title.
And the Slipmouth Woman Zero, the beginning of the Kuchisaki Yona, was released in 2008, and she can also be later seen as a character in the 2012 film, The Kuchisaki Yona Returns, as well as a webcomic known as Mob Psycho 100.
All documented character.
Yes, and then, of course, she was featured in Constantine as well, as I spoke about earlier.
I was going to say, I mean, that's I bet you people have seen this. They've never put it together until now.
Man, 2020, a lot of us were walking around in masks, right?
Yeah.
You never know. You might have bumped into one during that time up in... So it's very possible you might have bumped into one.
I did start throwing hard candy at somebody.
That was a different story.
So you can't defeat this character with hard candy.
But I'm saying you're just throwing hard candy at somebody.
I'm throwing hard candy.
This is my favorite Japanese yokai story, right? It's so scary, you know, and it's a very simple story. You know, I covered it in about 15, 20 minutes, which is why not normal episode of Bob After Dark material, right? Yeah. We talked about that. But it's such a good, well-rounded story. It's got the legend, right? Depending on what part of the country you're in or town, you have a different origin story, which is very, you know, very important you see in these ghost stories. Even now, you know, you hear about old man Jenkins' house, he murdered people on the block, or his house burned down while he was still inside, and that's why his ghost still exists.
The lore of it all.
The lore of it is, you know, the fact that it has different stories attached to the lore, I think is as important as the lore itself, right? I think that's very important. That means the story's been passed around.
For sure. I mean, it's one thing to see the character, but another thing, a whole different level, to learn about the lore, what makes this character so special, what got it to this point, why is it so terrifying? I mean, these are the things that people want to know about, the backstory, if you will.
Absolutely. Yeah. So then you have the character itself. You have her. What does she do when she approaches you? It's pretty concise the way you go about things and how you answer it, considering they made a flow chart about it.
That's needed.
Such ridiculous. I've never,
no?
never seen a flow chart relating to the paranormal, and it's hilarious.
It's got to be helpful for someone.
It's like, I want to print these out and hand these to people when I go to cons. It's like, how to survive a Kuchisaki Yona attack, you know? Like, I think it's hilarious. Yeah. I don't know why, but... You know, so that part of the legend is pretty straightforward. You know, you get a lot of it that pretty much the same. Maybe the versions of how she kills you or when she slits your mouth might be a little different. Mm-hmm. And then the way that you survive. Some people say that you have to throw the hard candy. Some say you have to throw coins at her. And some say you could just, you know, baffle her with, you know, other questions.
What is that? Like, what kind of, like, you said dumb questions or any questions?
Just
like,
if you don't answer the question and you keep asking questions in return, you can confuse her long enough for you to get away.
And then, you walk away, or does she walk away?
She's kind of confused and baffled.
You can walk away.
You don't just, like, randomly turn around and... Well,
like with the candy, she walks away when you throw candy, but I don't know if the stories will confuse her or questions confuse her. But I don't know. I feel like that could get you in a situation. Better off just keeping hard candy in your pocket.
I would agree.
Yeah. Or whatever. Anything in your pocket, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the story of the Kuchisaki Yona?
Terrifying. Right? You know, again, if you don't really ward off this creature quick enough, then you end up with your mouth slit open there and different varieties. So always best. But this is a good one. This is an easy one to conquer here, Bob. Because we hear about these other, creatures and cryptids and whatnot, and there's some tough ones. There's some tough cookies out there. This one, even though dangerous, if they go a hold on you, easily to persuade to get out the heck out of there.
I just think the alluring factor of the creature is very fascinating, right? You know, typically her targets are men. A lot of the stories you hear are from men. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're walking alone and you might be feeling whatever, and then here comes this woman coming up to you, right? And you might think, oh, I'm going to get like a phone number. And no, man, you're getting something way different than that. It's so terrifying. It's almost like primordial fear, right? Of something like coming after you and like tricking you up. Because, you know, there's other stories out there, you know, of creatures attacking people like randomly or, you know, whatever it might be in the paranormal. Even in true crime, there might be, you know, just random attacks, whatever it might be. And it's a little different. But this one, it's like, there's not really a pattern. She doesn't really, you know, there's not like one body type or one type of person. It's typically men, but you know,
never know.
You know, kids are even getting scared and they're legitimately causing enough panic to cause like PTAs to like walk kids home. That's the fact that she was able to strike that much fear in the people, and I really dig that. It's so cool.
How soon do you have to react? I mean, what's our reaction time here? I mean, is there a discussion before she attacks? Is there a...
She just comes up to you and she'll say, "Do you think I'm beautiful?"
That's it. Okay. That's all we got.
And then if you say no, then you die on spot. So if you're just, you see it without the slit in the mouth, you say, "Yeah, you know, you're a very attractive young lady." And then she removes the mask and you're like, "Do you think I'm beautiful?"
And then you start throwing candy.
No, at what point do you start throwing throwing the candy as soon as she approaches?
Because the reaction time, I mean, you don't have much time, it sounds like. Once the question is asked, you got to react. So at that point, you don't even answer the question. You just start asking the dumb questions or throwing her off or throwing the candy. You got to react fast here.
All right, Count. So here's a question for you. Scenario, if you will.
Okay.
You're at a pub, right? You're at one of your vampire bars.
Yeah.
And you're walking home, you finish up, and let's say you're a quick walk away from home. So you drink responsibly, you walk home, and you hear a woman calling you.
Yeah.
"Do you think I'm beautiful?"
Oh,
at what point do you start throwing the candy?
Oh, man. I throw it right away. That question,
instantly. Yeah. The second somebody asks, "Do you think I'm beautiful?" Kant's like, "Nah, I'm out of here."
From now on, whenever somebody asks me that question, I'm going to start throwing candy at them. Yeah.
My other question is, what kind of candy do you throw?
It's got to be, you said hard candy, right?
Whatever the candy would be popular in Japan, there's lots of different kinds of candies over there.
Well, I know the traditional one here in America is the old, like, say, elderly person walks around with the
breath mint?
Yeah, or the Halloween orange and black twisty candy, the wrappers with the orange and black ones that nobody really eats. Those are hard candies you could throw at somebody.
Do you want to know what I Weathers, the caramels.
That one is a popular one.
I like that one though. I don't want to throw. I don't want to throw away candy I'm not gonna like.
Yeah.
Or that I'm gonna like. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. I'm being attacked by a Kuchisaki Onna. It's like I don't want to throw away, you know, a York peppermint.
Well, how about those Halloween candies that nobody really eats?
I like those.
The ones that are wrapped up in the orange or black tissue.
I'm going to stick with, like, for me, root beer barrels.
Oh, would that do it? I think that would do it, right? That's hard.
It's hard. It's not my favorite. I know, like, all three of you that are into root beer barrels are going to be like, "Now, come on, Bob."
No, that's a good choice, Bob. Yeah, right. You want to get rid of a candy you're not going to eat. Might as well be something like root beer barrels. But, yeah, Bob, reaction time is quick. You got to be quick. As soon as you hear that question, start throwing that candy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why, you would wait? You would give it a little pause to see what happens.
I mean, for me, this point in my life, I'm 32 years old. I'm not gonna. I'm. If somebody's trying to talk to me, I might just be like, "Please leave me alone."
Yeah. But you got to answer the question.
Then I'm gonna get stabbed. You want me to get stabbed?
Well, that's why you got to throw the candy or start asking some numb questions.
You think I'm beautiful? I'd be like, "Sorry, I can't hear you."
Yeah.
I've been, I had a couple of beers. I'm not following. Yeah. What'd you say?
Well, can you ask back that same question they ask you?
That's in the lore. There's a thing where you can ask her, "Do you think I'm beautiful?" Yeah. Which is what they used in the show Constantine. Yeah. It's a really good back and forth, by the way.
I got to watch that.
No, it's really good. I can't recommend
it. Where can I pick it up?
I think...
DVD section somewhere?
I think it's available somewhere streaming.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start naming streaming services because they could sponsor me.
VHS copy.
VHS copies. Kuchisaki Onna, it's a really quick story, but there is some lore associated with it. It's just so terrifying.
Yeah.
It's absolutely horrific, you know? You hear the story of, like, the Yuki Onna, where she's, like, you know, manipulating the weather. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
But there's, like, you know, a really strong power associated to that. This one's just like a conversation killer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Stopping your tracks, you could say.
So what do you think of the story?
I think it's fantastic, Bob. Again, easily. I think I could easily survive this, of course. I don't think it would. She would get to me as much as these other ones you talked about in the past. As soon as that question is asked, I mean, we're asking more questions or I'm throwing things at her. So I think I could, you know, I don't say this slightly. I don't say this too often. You know, I easily would get destroyed by any of these folks you talk about. But this one.
Well, this is the one you're surviving.
I got a chance here, Bob.
I'm glad to hear that.
I think majority of people. I mean, the majority of people would have the same chance if they knew what they were dealing with. Seriously, if you don't know what you're dealing with, then you have no time to react.
So this is the one you're retaining.
This is knowledge you need.
This is the one creature that Count Panic's legitimately going to remember. So if I asked you, Count, how do you kill a Wendigo? He doesn't remember.
I don't remember.
He doesn't remember. No. So if he comes across a Wendigo, he's going to get ripped to shreds.
But I don't think there was an easy way to defeat one, right?
Well, you get a red hot ice pick and you stab it through the heart.
Yeah, how? That's difficult to do. That's a task. And how do nobody has that laying around, so it's like hard candy you could at least keep in your pocket.
So this is the one, guys. This is
the one.
Count Panic is conquering the Kuchisama.
I hope I run into one tonight. Because I want to conquer it.
Oh, no.
I hope it happens, Bob.
Oh, Count. Thank you so much for...
For all of us.
Thank you so much for producing. I don't ever get to thank you enough on the show. Well, thank
welcome.
You for producing an episode.
You're welcome, Bob. You know, and again, my cape kind of stayed on through the whole time. It was a nice podcast,
yeah,
Jet TV
relaxing.
Format there. But here's the thing, Bob. You're telling people life lessons right now, which is good to have. I mean, you're
be
giving people the
don't
keys
talk
to life.
Strangers. There's my there's the lesson you can learn from the Kuchisama. Yeah. Just don't talk to strangers.
Don't talk to strangers.
Fine.
Yeah. No, Bob. Fantastic. Again, I'll take this knowledge with me wherever I go.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Count Panic, we just want to wish you guys all good night and sweet dreams. To Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy and comfortable. Mom, I hope you have sweet dreams as well. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.